Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode 131, Gift Ideas for Runners. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers. Regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Okay, tis the season, so let's talk about running gifts. I guess after 41 years of running, I've come across just about all the popular gadgets and gear for runners. And of course, every year, more things come out, every month. So I thought I might share some of my favorite items with you. I don't have any financial ties to any of these companies, by the way. I've tried to include gifts in every price range and for runners of all levels. And I'll try to put links in the show notes to most of these items. And most of the links will probably go to Amazon. But again, I don't get any money from Amazon if you go there and buy it. And so they're in no particular order, but I will tell you which are the most valuable to me personally. And also, just occurs to me, I have an idea. Just for fun, if you get any of these items as a gift, how about posting a photo of you using the new item on the Mojo for Running Facebook wall? That would be great fun. Okay, number one. Well, of course, I would have to say it would be to pre-order the Human Race documentary on iTunes. All the runners I've showed it to said it was incredibly inspirational. It will make runners proud to be runners and motivated to keep getting out there. And it will get non-runners off the couch. So many people believe they can't run, either because they're incredibly out of shape or because they've never been an athlete or they're too old. You know, you've heard them, all those reasons. Let's face it, there's no shortage of excuses for someone looking for one. However, some people would really, really love to be a runner, but they have it in their mind that they can't. They're just not cut out for it for some reason or other. This documentary will knock that thought right out of their head once and for all. I'll put the link in the show notes to make it easier for you to find it in iTunes. Again, that money's not coming to me, but I believe so strongly in this project. It's really great. Number two, metronome. This is a clip-on device that you can set to beat at any given frequency. I like the Seiko brand most, and I have used several. It costs about $30, and it's a pretty small device, so you can clip it on your collar or your sleeve or your waistband, and you won't even notice. I have several that I use during my group coaching, but many in my coaching group have bought their own so that they can use them to practice when they're out on their own. Of course, you can download an app that does the same thing for your phone, but some people don't want to carry their phone or are using it for something else, like listening to podcasts or tracking their mileage. Some running stores likely carry them. When you go to search for it, though, make sure you get the basic one. In fact, you should Google running metronome, because there are tons that are made actually for musicians, but you don't need anything that complicated. And that would actually be hard to use. But if you do a Google search for metronome and runner, you'll find just exactly what I'm talking about. Number three, Gym Boss. This is a device for timing intervals. Again, you can get one of these, an app that does this on your phone, and it works very well. But sometimes it's handy to have something else. It works great. However, some running watches do this as well. So you have several options here. Personally, I prefer to use the Gym Boss, which clips onto my shorts. Alternatively, you can download an interval timer for your phone, though. But the Gym Boss costs, I don't know, probably about $20. It's maybe an inch and a half by an inch, and you can set it for any interval. So like for somebody that likes to do a walk run, they might set it for 60 seconds running and 30 seconds walking. And what it does is it vibrates. So you can actually feel it vibrating, which is kind of nice because then it doesn't irritate all the people around you. You can also set it so it beeps, but I think most people use it in vibrate mode. Number four, a watch. This is redundant just to mention because, you know, the thing is pretty much everybody thinks about getting a running watch, but it can be a problem as well, resulting in you becoming obsessed with pace. In other words, I say having a running watch or getting a running watch especially to somebody who hasn't used one. Some people just get nuts about not running too slow, which is horrible. It's a dangerous thing that always leads to you becoming detrained and slower. I see a lot of runners who are constantly trying to run fast. Every time they do a run, they look at it to see their watch to see what their average pace was. This is a really bad idea unless you're being careful and watching to make sure your average pace is not too fast. Many, many, many runners, and I'm going down a rabbit hole here for a second, but many runners get frustrated or get on a plateau or get aggravated because they're not getting faster. And when I actually sit down and talk to them, the problem is that they're running hard every day. And that way their body doesn't get to recover. They become detrained. They can even get slower. And once I straighten them out, then they start to drop their time again. So the thing about a running watch is make sure you use it wisely. Don't let it help you to become obsessed. Some models will provide you with heart rate, and that's great too. I would say my favorite function, besides the obvious two, mileage and elapsed time, are pace and average pace. If there's one that I depend on most in a race, it's average pace. Lots of the bells and whistles I'd rather do without. I mean, seriously, who really needs to get their emails on their phone? Anyway, if you ask me which brand is the best, I'd say Garmin. That's been my experience over the years, but I have friends who love their Apple Watch and other brands as well. So just do your research. You can find so many reviews online. Talk to the people in the running stores. Talk to your friends. So, you know, it may just depend on what features you want most. The more features, the more it costs. But you probably could have guessed that. Number five, a headlamp. A critical device, thing to add to the list, I would say, is a light for running early or late. There are many brands, of which I currently own three. One is a Black Diamond, one's a Petzl, and I can't remember the third. I would just do a Google search and read the reviews. An important factor is whether it is battery operated or rechargeable. My personal preference is battery operated in case I forget to recharge it. You'll want one that's balanced, that doesn't slide down on your forehead, and it's lightweight, easy to adjust, and holds a charge as long as your longest run in the dark. So read the reviews. You can find out one that's pretty good online. I find that most places locally, and I live in a big metropolitan area, nobody carries really enough of a variety, I don't think. It's just kind of a more unique item. But everybody will benefit by having one if you ever run in the dark. Number six, wobble board. I'll tell you what, in my whole list, this might just be my very favorite. It's often known as a balance board too. So wobble board, balance board, there are a variety of styles, but basically this is a wooden or plastic circular flat device. So kind of like a plate, but made of plastic or wooden. So it's very durable. And they're probably most of them 15 to 18 inches in diameter. And it has a half of a sphere attached to the bottom. So if you took a sphere, sliced it in half, and then glued that in the center of this plate, we'll call it, or saucer, that's what it is. So of course, it can't sit flat on the floor unless you've got it upside down. The idea is to stand on it and try to balance. But that's not what I use it for most of the time. I find that it's fantastic for building strength in the lower leg and also for improving balance. In fact, it also is great for improving strength in your toes, ankle, foot. You can watch. In fact, I have a video online where I think it's on Instagram, where you can see the muscles in my lower leg, and like right below the knee, all the way down, flexing as I use it. So, you know, I just think it's wonderful. But here's the way I use it. I don't use it the way it's designed. The whole idea is that you're supposed to try to balance on it and keep the edge of this wooden platform from touching the ground. I don't use it that way. I stand on it with my feet on the outer edges, okay? And then I roll it around. So I have my feet on the outer edges, and I tilt it to where the wooden edge is on the ground. So let's say I have the left edge on the ground, and then I tilt my body so that I keep the edge on the ground, but I rotate all the way around. And I'm forcing it gently that way around in a circle by using my feet and my weight. It takes coordination, it takes balance, but everybody can do it. And in the beginning, you can hold on to a wall or a friend until you get the hang of it. I have one that I take to track practice every time, and I have every one of my runners do 10 repeats in each direction, just circling, because I feel like it's so important to strengthen their feet, ankles, and lower legs. It's kind of hard to explain. I hope you got the idea. But if you go to my Mojo for Running Facebook page, there's also a video there. And then again, there is one on Instagram in my Run Tampa Instagram feed that's been viewed thousands of times. But you might have to scroll down a little bit, or maybe I'll repost it at the top of the feed so that it's easy for you to find. But anyway, I love those. I think you can get them for between $30 and $40. Honestly, I've had mine for easily 15 years, maybe 20. Very durable. They'll last forever. But I highly recommend that for runners at every level. I mean, somebody that's just about to start running, it's great for them because so many beginner runners get injuries to their feet right off the bat. So we want to make them strong. Number 7, massage roller sticks. This is a self-massage stick that works better for small muscle groups and lower leg than what I'm about to tell you about. The next one is going to be foam roller. But you actually can roll it like you put, it's a stick that's most of them are about 2 feet long or 18 inches. It has a handle on each end, and then it's got little plastic things that spin, and you just roll it like on the back of your calf is a great place. Just move it until you find a spot that's sensitive. And usually that what that means is that muscle is really tight. And then you just rest it there and move it there on that spot. So it's a means of self-massage that works really, really well. One of the most common brands is called The Stick. And I think they're at just about every big race expo. So probably you've already seen them. But, you can use that before and after your workouts. My only warning is do not use it on your shin. You don't want to use it on your bones. You don't want to use it on the front of your leg. Use it on your muscles. Another great place for this is to use it right above your knee, but on the inside. I think they call that the medial side. From there, like about 4 inches up. If you rub your thumb in that area, you'll probably find that it's sensitive, but you may not know it. You wouldn't know it until you dug in with your thumb. That's a good place to use this massage roller stick to loosen that up, because most people don't do that, and that area could use some work. And if the muscles get tight above or below your knee, what so many people don't realize is that can cause pain in your knee. So often I talk to people who say, yeah, I've got knee trouble. And then when I really talk to them, I discover that it's because it's where a muscle inserts next to the knee. So a muscle that's between the knee and the ankle, or a muscle that's between your pelvis and your knee, can get really tight. And then that pulls on your knee. It pulls in an unnatural direction, and it makes your whole gait off. So these kinds of things, this and the foam roller, can go a long way towards helping with that. Although you all know I'm a huge believer in massages. I didn't think to put that on the list, but that would be a great thing to give somebody, a deep tissue massage. Lots of people just won't do it because it costs $100. Believe me, it's worth every penny. So my advice is get regular deep tissue massages at least like once every 3 months. Then if you do that, you can maintain on your own with the massage roller stick or number 8, foam roller. This is a self-massage device that is effective at relieving muscle tension, available in several lengths, some with a knobby-like pattern to add to the effect. That's what I have. Depending on your body, you may see great benefit from using it every day. A lot of people find that once they have had trouble with their IT band, that's on the outer part of your leg between your pelvis and your knee, once they've had trouble with that, they really become I don't want to say addicted because that's a negative term, but they are committed to using the foam roller every day because it keeps that muscle looser for them or not so tight. However, we used to you know, tell people to roll up and down. Now, we don't say to do that. We say just roll, move it until you find a spot that's tight, and then just rest your leg on it. Just lay there and let it loosen up rather than going up and down. You can find videos online that are put on YouTube by massage therapists, or even better yet, physical therapists, that show you the optimal way and all the many ways that you can use a foam roller to get to all the parts that could benefit from it. Because sometimes it can be kind of awkward, but they've pretty much figured out a way to get to most muscles. All right, number 9, exercise resistance bands. This will help you make the most of your at-home workout. Use it for many great strengthening exercises. Search YouTube for exercises to do it with. Exercise bands, you know, you can get a whole set of them for $15, but wow, they can really help you get stronger in areas where you need that strength to help you avoid injury. For example, one of the things I have my runners do a lot is it's the lateral walk or crab walk, where you kind of bend at the knees, you stick your butt out, you put your hands up in front of your chest, and you walk laterally, you walk sideways. But the best way to do it is with a resistance band right above your knees to make it harder. Very important not to let it cave your knees in. You keep your knees over your foot, pointed out over your toes, but then you step sideways, like 1 foot at a time. You always keep your feet never come like closer than about a foot apart, but then you take a step and then you bring the other foot over to where your foot apart again. Again, this is, you can look up resistance band exercises on YouTube and you'll find lots of videos that show you lots of different ones. Another one of my favorites is clamshells. Very helpful to do clamshells and to use a resistance band for that. Another one is side leg lifts. Another way that we use them very often is on bridges. You put them, again, but right above your knee, around both legs, and use them. That way you're kind of pushing out at the same time against the band while you're doing a bridge, so it enhances the effect of the bridge. Number 10, balance or stability cushion. This is a round cushion, say 15 inches in diameter, that's filled with air, but not filled to the max. The fuller you fill it, the harder it is to stand on and balance. I balance on mine for 1 minute on each foot every day. You just stand trying to balance and not fall off, but try to always remember to keep the leg you're standing on bent. That'll make it a little bit harder. Focus on the wall or something in the distance, and that'll actually help you. And I think it's great for strength, for coordination, and for balance. Check out my Mojo for Running podcast episode number 85 about balance and proprioception for runners, part 1, and episode 86, exercises and drills to improve balance and proprioception. This will cost, you know, it doesn't cost very much. I think I probably paid $20 for mine, but it's very helpful. Number 11, a kettlebell. This is a weight. Most of you know what a kettlebell is, a weight that works well for strength training outside the gym. It's just a round sphere. It usually has a flat side, which is the bottom, so it'll stand still, so it won't roll around on the floor. And then it's got a triangle-shaped handle on the top. I'd say a good weight to start with is probably 15 pounds for women and 25 pounds for men, but that depends on your size and your strength. However, it's better to start with lower weight and focus on form. Make sure you're doing the exercises right. You can do a Google or YouTube search to find examples of various exercises. Just Google kettlebell exercises or kettlebell exercises for runners. Or you can also order a poster with illustrations of many different exercises to do. You can get a great workout with just one kettlebell. You can buy various sizes, though, but you can do an awful lot with just one. I think they sell them for approximately $1 a pound. And, you know, there's no way to wear this thing out, so you can also buy them at used sporting goods stores. I've seen them there. They're great for when you want to have some resistance, but don't want to buy a whole set of weights. So I highly recommend them. Number 12, jump rope. I don't think jump roping gets nearly enough attention. It's a great exercise. And jumping exercises are plyometric, which will improve your running because running is plyometric. Essentially, with every step, you're jumping off the ground. Get a good quality rope and keep it handy. I try to jump rope several times a week. This one thing added in 3 days a week will work wonders, and it's a very inexpensive piece of equipment. Number 13, agility ladder. Great. It's a great portable way to add agility anywhere. And, you know, you can do this even in your driveway, but it's essentially, it's almost exactly the same thing as drawing like a hopscotch on your driveway, on concrete anywhere. So you can actually do that instead of buying an agility ladder. But there are great routines or drills that you can do. There's probably 50 that you could do, different ones with an agility ladder. So I would say, again, just Google agility ladder drills, and you'll see lots of examples. Very challenging. Hydration pack, number 14. For anybody who plans to run more than 90 minutes, this is a must. And the design of these just keeps getting better. My advice is to visit all the stores in town that sell these and also ask friends what they use and like. Also, read the reviews online because most towns don't have a whole lot of them in stock anywhere. It's hard to buy one of these online, though, because what fits one might not fit the other. It's very individual. So another good idea would be if you go to a race where a lot of people are wearing them after the race, look at them, talk to them about it, ask them if you can try theirs on. Plus, your selection, what's best for you, is based very much on what features you want. Because some of them you drink through a tube that comes up from the pack over your shoulder from a bladder that's in the pack. Others, you can insert a couple of bottles in the front of them. Personally, I hate to drink out of a tube that comes out of the bladder in the back. I would rather use bottles. So see, that's the kind of thing that's very different. One person will love using the bladder and the other will hate it. Anyway, I discussed hydration pack options in Mojo for Running, episode number 66, Hydration Systems for Runners. Number 15, compression gear. I love my compression socks. I'm wearing some right now. I did a whole podcast about compression gear. It's number 95. My favorite compression gear would have to be my socks, but I have calf sleeves and shorts, and I'm planning on picking up a pair of pants soon. In the winter, I often wear the socks when I run just because they're heavy and keep me warm, without a thought about the compression benefit. So research does show, though, that there is benefit if you wear them for recovery after your runs. The jury is still out about how much or if they can help during a run, if at all. To learn a lot more, listen to that whole podcast, number 95. Item number 16 is a medal rack. Anybody who races much has a need for some means of displaying their medals. This makes a great gift, and it's something you can give the runner in your life every year because it only takes about a year to fill one up if you race very often. You can find great ones on Etsy, too. They come in all shapes and sizes and prices. Number 17, a running shirt quilt. If you do a Google search for quilts made from running shirts, you'll find places that do this. I haven't had this done ever, although, of course, I have hundreds of race shirts. Well, I don't have them because most of them I throw away. But I've seen a couple of quilts that were made from running shirts once people posted pictures on Facebook. In fact, one of my friends posted a picture of one that she made of her shirts and one that she had made by somebody else of her husband's shirts. But they were both just great. I love them. So they're very well done. It's the perfect thing to do with all those old race shirts that are meaningful to you. I mean, you might have 100 in the drawer, but you might be able to pick 12 that really matter and get them made into a quilt. It would be difficult to give the quilt itself as a gift, but you could give the person a gift certificate for the company that makes the quilt. That way the gift receiver could pick out the shirts and the style of quilt. Number 18. In the high-priced category, you've got treadmills and stationary rowers. Either is a worthwhile investment for any runner if that runner will use it and doesn't have a gym nearby. If you live or the runner lives where you can't get outside for months due to inclement weather, then I'd say one of these is an absolute must. However, make sure to spend enough money to get a heavy-duty one. This is not the place to skimp. Another suggestion, though, is to shop for a used one. Many people invest in a rower or treadmill with the best intention and then never use it. So you can pick up a barely used top-of-the-line model for half its original value. It might be 5 years old, but it's probably been sitting just gathering dust. So, you know, you might have to add a little oil, but you could get a model that was originally, you know, $1,500 or $2,000 for $600 or $700. So I would say definitely do that. Okay, that's it. Please follow me on Instagram at RunTampa and on Twitter, just follow me at Debbie Voiles. Now, here's today's quote. As we head into 2019, try to improve your outlook on life. No matter how good it is, all of us could be wiser, right? That's part of being wise, accepting that we have more lessons to learn. When an obstacle lies in your path, and we can all expect there will be obstacles in 2019, there are always obstacles. That's life. But everything is about perspective. When an obstacle lands between you and your goal, appreciate it, because in overcoming it, you may discover both your purpose and your strength. Now, here's a quote I like. When faced with challenge, happy people just add a new chapter to their life story that shows them overcoming the hardship. That's from Bruce Feeler. Happy holidays.